Very good. Thank you, Jeff. Commissioner Hoffman calling to order the Bureau of Public Works regular meeting on January 20th, 2021 at 4 p.m. We do have a quorum, but I would ask if I could for the clerk just to read those in attendance so I have an idea. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Hoffman, you're kind of cutting in and out a little bit on your phone, so I guess if you could just please try to speak up, or if you're in a certain spot of your house, if there's a better spot for cell service, you may want to try heading in that direction, because it may get a little difficult as the meeting goes on. But as far as attendance so far, I have present Commissioners Bush, DiBella, Hoffman, Magnin, Payne, Sweezy, Taylor, Torres, and Wolf. I do not have present Commissioners Adil, Avedisian, Curry, Keeley, Lester, Murata, or Vecino. So if any of those commissioners are present, if you could please speak up.
Okay. Thank you for doing that. Does this sound better?
Yes, that's clear.
Okay, great. So the next order of business is to ask for any public comments on agenda items. I don't know if any public is tuned in today.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dave Silverstone. I did have a comment, if I may.
Yes, Dave, go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to comment, if I may, on item number 6, which concerns the long-term control plan, integrated plan. And there's a document accompanying that was apparently sent out sometime today that talks about that item. And I wanted to note that on page 3 of that, it indicates that a clean water project would be responsible for $644 million of the cost identified therein, and the capital improvement program for sewers would be responsible for $190 million. So this is an issue that has come up, or that I raised several years ago at the time of the public hearing prior to the submission to the DEEP with regard to this integrated plan, which I think is a great idea. I'm not objecting to that. My concern is with the allocation of costs between the clean water project and the capital improvement program for sewers. This is not just a nomenclature question. If it's a clean water project cost under the existing approach that MDC has used, that chart, the cost associated therewith, the bond, supporting the bonds associated with that construction would show up in the water charge for water customers. On the other hand, if it's in the clean, okay, if it's in the capital improvement program for sewers, it will show up, at least in large part, in the ad valorem. So I think this is a real issue. I raised it a couple of years ago. I submitted comments to DEP with regard to this. I don't think it's ever really been discussed by the commissioners, and I think it's really important that it be addressed as to who's going to bear these costs, water customers versus ad valorem or some combination thereof. And again, I want to emphasize, I'm fully supportive of the concept of the integrated plan. I think it's the only way to go, but I think there has to be a reckoning with regard to this allocation of costs. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Silverstone. I don't know that we can get you that answer today immediately, but we certainly will address that question.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just clarify, no need for it today. I'm not expecting that. I do note that it's a year or so before this issue really comes up, according to the schedule in that document. It's a year or so before this really becomes sort of front burner, but I wanted to raise it because I think it's going to be a difficult issue to discuss, and you may need several meetings to do it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further public comments on the agenda items? Hearing none, I'm going to ask for a motion to approve of the minutes from November 17,
2020. So moved, Adam. Right.
And a second?
Second. Magnus.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Hearing none? Minutes are passed. Item number four. We're asked tonight to take three items, two of which are for consideration and potential action as we go forward. The first one, number four, has to do with the so-called Mattabassett Agreement, which contained two specific changes. And I'm going to ask for either Chris Stone to address those or Scott.
Commissioner, this is Scott Jellison. So we have with us tonight Jason Waterbury, who's our lead engineer on this agreement, and also Brendan Fox, who has helped draft the agreement. This is an agreement that has not been updated since 2007, and for a lot of reasons, we have not updated the agreement, mainly in concerns over a 2003 decision by MDC Engineering to request more capacity within the Mattabassett plant than we believe that we need for the future. So we have resolved those issues with Mattabassett. We are, as you probably know, we are trying to redirect a sewer away from Mattabassett in the future. We're trying to send it back to our treatment plants in Rocky Hill or Hartford. And so that is our intent and our goal. We believe we can treat it cheaper ourselves, but there's certain areas within the district, the outskirts in the regions, that it's only, you know, it's a geological issue. It's a gravity issue that it's more cost effective to send it to Mattabassett. So I think we have Brendan and Jason with us. Brendan, you going to start off?
Sure, I will do that. Thank you, Scott. This is Brendan Fox, Assistant District Counsel for the MDC. What's before the Bureau of Public Works this evening is the approval, consideration and approval of the Mattabassett Service Agreement. As Scott referenced, the agreement has not been updated since 2007. Our relationship with Mattabassett goes back much further than that, back to 1973, when the MDC began to transmit certain wastewater from certain geographic areas in Rocky Hill and Newington to Mattabassett for wastewater treatment. For those who are not familiar with Mattabassett, it's referred to as the Mattabassett District, very similar to the MDC. They only provide wastewater treatment services, and their four primary constituent towns are Berwyn, Cromwell, New Britain, and Middletown. In exchange for us transmitting the wastewater to Mattabassett from those areas, and about 1,700 connections are served by this agreement, we compensate Mattabassett for its services, both for operating a certain portion of operating expenses and a certain portion of capital expenses. And that's a formula that's contained in the resolution. If you look at the italicized language, I won't repeat it here because it is right there in the resolution. We've had these agreements over the course of time. The last agreement expired in 2007. Since that time, we have not had a written agreement, although we have operated under the terms of this agreement until the present day. The agreement that's before the Bureau of Public Works contains two important changes, because it is, for the most part, the terms and the conditions are similar, if not identical, to the agreements that we've had in the past. The two big changes, however, are the more minor change is that the flow meters, which were calibrated by Mattabassett, and we covered the expense, in the past were calibrated four times a year. Now they'll be calibrated only a single time, maybe up to two times a year. That's a benefit to the MDC. The bigger benefit to the MDC is what Scott referred to as the reserve capacity, the reserve plant capacity. Back in 2003, the MDC reaffirmed a reserve plant capacity of 1.6 million gallons a day. Historically, from 2011 until 2020, we've only sent 710,000 gallons a day to Mattabassett. We attempted to reduce that number in the negotiation of this agreement. However, Mattabassett has relied upon that reserve plant capacity that the MDC committed to in the context of it going out to market and borrowing money, bonded indebtedness. What we have negotiated, however, is that in 2030, we will be able to negotiate this reserve plant capacity down, or up for that matter, but we believe it will be down. And that's a benefit to the MDC. The Mattabassett is required to provide us notice of that. We will compile data. We will share that with the Mattabassett, and presumably that reserve plant capacity will be reduced downward. The net effect of that will be the reserve plant capacity will obviously correspond more with what the reality is, but also the cost will be reduced at that point in time. Finally, and then I'll defer to Jason Waterbury or Sindigrelli or back to Scott, this agreement expires in 2034. It automatically renews for another five-year term unless we provide notice to the Mattabassett within 2 years of that expiration date. We intend to insert into the SAP system a reminder so that that notice, if in fact we wish to exercise our right to have the agreement terminate in 2004, that deadline is observed and respected by the MDC. Those are my comments. I'm happy to answer any questions. We do have Jason Waterbury here and Scott to answer any technical questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Fox. Perhaps we can have Jason make his comments.
Sure. Thank you, Commissioners. Brendan and Scott pretty much nailed really all the high points. There's really three points that are a collection system, three primary points of collection system that go to Mattabassett. One is known as Raleigh, one is known as Kobe, and one is known as France. France and Raleigh primarily take flow from the southwest side of Rocky Hill, kind of near New Britain Avenue and France Street. And Raleigh takes flow from a small portion of Newington, primarily along the Berlin Turnpike, kind of from like AutoZone and Express Kitchens downward, plus some land to the south and west of there, almost over to Stonehenge as like the northern border, if you're familiar with Newington. The flow from Newington and the flow from the Kobe Road area in Rocky Hill does go through Berlin first. So we do have an agreement that Brendan and I have been working on. That's the next step is to update that agreement too. But the flow through France is a direct connection with Mattabassett. And really, other than that, those are, Scott mentioned, we are looking at and evaluating ways to send these flows to either Hartford or Rocky Hill treatment plants. Those are large capital projects that right now is are not going to be rising to the top of our capital spending priority list. That's really about it for comments that I have.
Okay, thank you. if I can ask the members of the committee for a motion to move this along for consideration and approval, and then a second for purposes of discussion.
Ray Sweezy, I'll move the resolution.
Second. Thank you, Ray.
Second, Bill DeBell.
I also have a question to Jason. How far up New Britain Avenue to get to Colby Road do we actually have sewers? Is it end at Hayes Road, or does it end up near further up?
Hayes Road is basically the northeast border. So north and east of Hayes ends up
there. From there all the way up, even how about all those new houses up there? It's probably, you know, where what's the name of it? Where Tony Guerrero lives on. None of those
are you talking about
sewers?
What's that?
Those houses don't have sewers up there?
I don't know which ones you're talking about.
New Britain Avenue, you go up maybe a quarter mile from Hayes Road going towards Berlin.
I have the map in front of me, so I'm just looking real quick.
Okay. So the streets off Hayes, off New Britain Avenue also don't have sewers?
No, well, they do have sewers, but they flow towards Mattabassett.
Okay.
So their district.
So it's just not Colby Road then?
Well, Colby Road is the meter pit. So basically, if you draw a line, basically an area north and east of Colby Road back towards Hayes and north up to almost Whitewood, that's your area where there's existing MDC, district sewers. However, the flow ends up at the Mattabassett system.
Okay, so it's a lot more houses. How many houses then, units, into that?
All in all, it was about 1,700.
Okay, approximately. That's fine. Yeah. Okay, yep. So it is quite a few houses that flow into Mattabassett from Rocky Hill.
Yes. I believe it was 1,000 from Rocky Hill and 700 from Newington, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Thank you. That's fine.
Sweezy, the maps are actually in the attachment, and you can see the specific drainage areas there. If you want to see the maps, they're in
you,
there.
Thank you, Susan.
All right.
Commissioners, Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Shelton. So this is, as we were going through the issues that we had recently with Berlin, we were very conscious in our discussions with Mattabassett about making sure we don't have a agreement, a long extended agreement that that people forget about, and it's very easy to when it's a 30-year contract. So we're very conscious of the fact that we don't want something like happened with Berlin, where people just forget, you know, people retire over time and there's no automatic mechanism for this to take place and for the contract to be canceled. I asked Art Simone and my counterpart at Mattabassett, and we spent a lot of time with this with Brendan and their attorney, as to I wanted this agreement to end automatically on 2034, and that way we wouldn't have to worry about a administrative action to take place. But unfortunately, because of the bonds that were sold and because of the action taken by the MDC in 2003, the only thing we could really settle for was the language that we have, which gives us 2 years in advance. And hopefully that is really only, 14 years away, and hopefully Jason Waterbury is still here and he'll remember. But as Brendan said, we are able to flag SAP and provide us with a notification of this contract ending.
Again, Ray Sweezy, a question to Scott. Please. So from Colby Road, that area, New Britain Avenue, it flows into pipes in Berlin. So for like 3 or 4 miles, it goes through Berlin to the pipes in Berlin are also Mattabassett pipes, though, right? It's their pump stations and their pumps and their pipe.
I can answer that, Scott. Okay. The local sewers that we flow through in Berlin are actually owned and operated by the town of Berlin. It then flows
Berlin Water District.
Yes. Yes. Okay. It then flows to,
I believe.
It flows to a pump station on Deming Road, right across from Selden Street.
Yeah, I know.
And that's owned by the town of Berlin. The district,
so
the force
is that
main,
the pump station that they're saying we still owe them money for from 10 years to 30 years back?
Yes, that is the same pump station.
Okay. So do they get paid for the for any of the flow that goes through there?
The payment that we negotiated with them recently covered our share of the flow that goes through there. Okay. Using the meters that we have from discharging into their system at the at Colby and Rabbit.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Curry with a question?
Absolutely, go ahead.
Thank you. Or Hoover, tell us what the fiscal impact to MDC as it relates to this agreement.
Jay, you can answer that, but it's about $500,000 a year, plus or minus.
It's closer to six.
Okay.
However, it's appropriate for the amount of services and the acreage that we're serving. It's not out of line.
So I see our invoice to them for 19 was 652. Is that right? Yeah. 652,000.
I have a 636 from June of 18 to 19 because they're not a calendar year. Just remember that.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
So July 19, June 20, 667.
Okay.
The follow-up question is there anything in state law or MDC's ordinances or charter that control the length of a single contract or agreement or restrict the length of a contract or agreement?
Commissioner, this is Brendan Fox. I'm not aware of anything under state law that would dictate a maximum term of any agreement, nor am I aware of anything under the MDC ordinances.
Okay. My thought on that is that we operated a lot of years without an agreement. I'm not sure when the district as a whole was notified of that. And maybe consideration should be given to referring to the appropriate committee to look at lengths of contract. This is a very long agreement. You know, it's one thing to stay with a company if you're going to have renewals every 5 years, but you have a meeting and you discuss it and you approve the extension. But to just have this long a contract for anything just seems inordinately long.
Commissioner, this is Scott Jellison. I agree with you to some extent. The only problem with these outreach, these are, and we have the complete opposite, right? So we have development that occurs on the outskirts of our regions, and the practical side in the 60s, and typically you see a lot of these in the 1960s, and it's not economically feasible for the development to send the sewer to either the MDC or to Mattabasset or anywhere else, and therefore it's cheaper to go in the opposite direction, even though it's not within your district. The only problem with this is, and I have had Jay, we did hire a consulting firm, CH2 Hill, that looked at quick wins on what we can do to start to our decision, our engineering decision is every chance we get, we want to bring the sewer back to the district because obviously, as you know, we've built capacity. And we built capacity at Hartford and Rocky Hill. And as we always say, we're building more capacity than we really need because we're building it for stormwater. So we want to bring sewer back to our treatment plants. But the challenge is there's no other place to go. So these areas, really, there's no other place to go except to expend the capital to pump it back to the MDC. And it's really a cost benefit scenario of how much it would cost to actually pump these sewers back to the MDC. And that's really our challenge. We do have 30-year agreements. We have a 50-year agreement with Connecticut Water in Unionville. And, all of those agreements do go in front of the board, as this one is. But that's our challenge, commissioners. There's no other place to send it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Ray Sweezy, again, to what Scott Jellison just said, I would hope that the Bureau of Public Works takes up the request that we've received from the Berlin Water on payments we possibly owe them. And because like Scott just said, there's nowhere else we can go. We got to go through their pipes and through their pump station, which is part of the money that they are saying we owe them at this time. Thank you.
Further questions? Seeing none, hearing none, we do have a motion on the floor, seconded properly, so we will take a voice vote. All in favor of approving?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Hearing none, unanimous. Item number five. Thank you. Item number five. potential action, consideration of potential action on an encroachment agreement, which takes place in Park Road, West Hartford. I believe that we have Mr. Curley to remark on that. We can have a motion to bring it to the table.
Second.
Thank you. Mr. Curley, I think, is there.
Yes, I am. Thank you. Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, this request came on January 11th of this year. We received this request from Lagan CT LLC, the designers working for Les Laz of West Hartford LLC, and the Sisters of St. Joseph Corporation, the current owners. Les Laz, West Hartford LLC are the future owners. So the request was to encroach on the MDC's existing 20-foot sewer easement so that they could build a new driveway and a parking lot to serve a new five-story residential redevelopment project called One Park. I do want to point out that, as I mentioned, the current owners are the Sisters of St. Joseph Corporation. They've entered into a purchase and sale agreement with Les Laz, but they don't have a sale, a date or when that's going to be completed. But they have given Les Laz permission to submit their encroachment permit application. So the details of the encroachment are many, but like I said, it's basically a parking lot and a driveway right on top of the easement. And some of the highlights include filling over the existing easement about 4 feet. They're also going to plant some small trees and shrubs. They're also going to have some rain leader piping, a 12-inch storm drain crossing, some electric and telecom lines. This is fairly routine. Most of these crossings are going to be most of these utilities are going to cross at a perpendicular angle to the easement, and they're going to be above 3 feet from the top of the sewer. I do want to point out that the sewer is old, but it has been repaired and lined in recent years. So upon reviewing the engineering plans, we've concluded that most of these improvements, which I highlighted, were minor, and that they will pose no detriment to the sewer. Les Laz has agreed to the following conditions listed in this agenda item, and they're fairly routine. They've also agreed to also have an inspector on site whenever work is done in the easement. So we think after reviewing this for some time, because this project's been on the books for some time, we think all of this is feasible, and we do recommend that the district move forward with a formal encroachment agreement with Les Laz in the future. Are there any questions?
Commissioner Curry with question.
Thank you.
Yes, pertaining to the proposed improvements, what safeguards are there to be assured that there's not additional improvements made or additional proposed improvements made after we agree to and sign this contract or agreement?
As I listed here, there is a lot of work required for the construction of the driveway and the parking lot, but not all of it is considered an encroachment, like the pavement improvements, the curbing, some of the planters, and some of the other piping connections. There's a final plan. Those plans are submitted to us, and that information is also made part of the encroachment agreement. So our inspectors know exactly what they're going to be building. So if they do change anything, they're going to let us know.
Mike, Scott Jellison, this is Scott Jellison. Mike, just to explain, we'll also have an inspector overseeing the construction activity during the entire construction, which they pay for.
Correct.
What is the process, should they propose additional improvements above and beyond what the district board has already agreed to?
Yes, if there's a material change to the scope of work, then the work will be stopped, and that work will be re-reviewed, and we will have to, if it's a significant change, then we're going to have to bring it back to the board.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Addle?
Yes, please.
Not so much a question as an observation. I've had experience with Lexington Partners, which is the half of the partnership, and they did a extremely great project in Weathersfield, and from what I've read about them and experienced personally, they're high caliber people who I would think twice before violating any agreement. So I would certainly endorse them.
Thank you for your comment. Further comments, questions from the commissioners board on the board committee? Hearing none, we can move to approve this as proposed. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposition? Hearing none, unanimous. Item number six. Item number six.
Move adoption.
Yes, please.
Second.
Again, consideration and potential action. And the move has been made to adopt. And a second for discussion. I don't know if I heard it.
Yes, no second.
Thank you. I think Scott wants to address this initially. Any other staff, I'm sure, will take care of the conversation.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We just wanted to give you a little update on the tunnel project itself. Susan's going to present, and then also want to give you a little update on the long-term control plan, integrated plan. Jason is going to give an update on that. So we are planning to give a full update to the full board on the 8th, to talk about the DRB process and that's the dispute resolution board process that we've agreed in the beginning of the project. And most tunnel projects across the country and the world utilize a DRB process for any kind of dispute resolution issues. So we mentioned that at our last presentation. We're going to give a detailed presentation on this topic to the full board on the 8th. Probably will request, if accepted through the chairman, District Council requested to be in executive session for obvious reasons. But tonight is really just to talk about the update of the tunnel and the integrated plan. So with that, Susan, I'd offer you to start.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We got the map there. If you you can see your screen there, you can see the current location of the tunnel boring machine. It's actually so we're running parallel to Dart Street right now in between Broadview Terrace and just east of Chandler Street. If you know that area at all, it's kind of off of New Britain Avenue out there on the west end of Hartford. So we're nearly 14,000 feet in with just less than 8,000 feet remaining to be drilled. As of the end of the November, we were about 79% complete with the project and 75% of the project schedule expended. Our contractual completion date right now is May 10th, 2022. We have a pending change order that's going through that gets us the date into the summer of 2022 for project completion. But our the remaining our so that's the contractual completion date, but our CM is actually thinking that we're probably going to be holding out sometime in April, May of 2022 with the machine, and then they'll be on site over the next year wrapping up activities. So they think they're a little behind contractually. Again, we're going to get into a lot more detail with this on the at the meeting on the 8th. We'll talk about it a lot more there. Right now, where the TBM is located, they're in a mandatory drill ahead zone. So basically, the machine, they drill out from their present location 150 to 200 feet ahead with all of these probe holes ahead of the tunnel boring machine itself. And if they encounter water, they grout those holes. After they finish that process of drilling ahead all of those different holes, then they mine through that section. And once they dry it up by the probing ahead, they do move, about 50 feet a day on the drilling. So it has been working. They're probably averaging about 500 feet a month over the past couple of months. I was planning a more thorough and detailed presentation for the 8th, and we'll be talking about the DRB process, as Scott mentioned. And at this point, if you can go to the next slide, Jason's going to talk about where we are with DEEP and our recent discussions regarding the integrated plan and some updates on where we are with EPA. Go ahead, Jay.
Thank you, Susan. So as you know, we submitted our integrated plan and long-term control plan update in December of 18. Following that submission, we got our initial response from DEEP in July of 19, and then from that led to multiple meetings and multiple correspondences and conversations, some of which are highlighted on the screen right now. Really, the next big milestone in this conversation back and forth with DEEP was that they wanted an executive summary. So we took the large three volumes of documents and consolidated it into a 60 to 70 page executive summary, and that was submitted to DEEP in December of 19. They then had some comments on the executive summary, which we addressed with a submission to them in May of 2020. From that led to two meetings, one in October and then one in December, where we ended up creating what we called the phase one of the integrated plan. We both agreed, us and DEEP, that it made sense to focus on the projects in the near future and not necessarily the projects that are 40 to 50 years out. So that was really what the current status is. We submitted that phase one to DEEP at the end of November. We met with them in December, and they requested some additional documentation, which we're on track to get to them sometime next week. With some clarifications to what phase one includes. John, can you go to the next slide? I think you're controlling. Thanks. So then phase one, this just shows some highlights of what exactly is included in it. The left-hand side of the screen is really what the environmental milestones and summary of work are, where by the end of this period, which is the end of 2028, we'll have about almost 100 million gallons of CSO reduction in a typical year from where we are right now. We'll also have half the CSO regulators that currently discharge to the open channel, the north branch of the Park River, will be completely eliminated. We'll have a total of 13 CSO and SSO regulators eliminated, and then an additional 18 CSO regulators that will be controlled to the one-year level control, which is important, as that's what the consent order requirement is for those particular regulators. The work itself, it totals $834 million. Over half the projects listed on the screen are actually include a significant amount of rehabilitation, which is why we get to that 370,000 feet of pipe rehab included in this part of the program. That's kind of the focal point of the integrated plan is addressing the existing infrastructure, and that's why these projects are coming to the top of the list. And then the total cost is $834 million. Of that $834 million, $389 million costs associated with is basically REF 1 and REF 2 money. So it's some of that money has already been accounted for, and some of that money is already being spent, i.e. tunnel contracts 2 and 5. John, can you go to the next slide? And then in parallel to this, we've had a couple conversations and meetings with EPA. We've kept them in the loop. We had a meeting with them back in May of 2019 where we presented in detail what the long-term control plan and integrated plan approach was. We also had, we did successfully close a sanitary sewer overflow, the only one remaining in the Rocky Hill system, Rocky Hill Weathersfield system, that was done in October of 19. There's a typo on the bottom of the slide. It should actually say January 11, 2021. We recently met with EPA and presented to them another update of the long-term control plan, integrated plan, including what phase one was, and then just, how the executive summary is statured and where we stand with DEEP. That was in part due to the fact that there's a new contact at EPA, and we wanted to bring him up to speed. Next slide, John. As you guys probably have heard, one of the key parts of our consent decree is the CMOM program. In May of 19, we revised three primary reports, updating them to current practices. Those were submitted to EPA, still pending review on that end. In 2020, I wanted to highlight here that even though we had some staffing impacts because of COVID, we did actually meet our milestones for both TV inspection and cleaning as part of what our CMOM requirements are. More than almost doubling the TV requirement and a significant chunk over on the cleaning side. And some of you commissioners may have seen evidence in Bloomfield and East Hartford where we've actually started our contractor easement clearing program. More information on the next slide, but we have a decent chunk of our collection system that is located outside the public right-of-way. So beginning in earlier in 2020, we actually hired a contractor to begin clearing of sanitary sewer easements. The eventual target is 25 miles a year. He completed the majority of his work in Bloomfield in 2020, and he's now working in East Hartford, and then we'll be progressing through each of the other member towns after that. Once these easements get cleared, the next step is actually then to inspect the sewers, and that work has started also. One more thing. On the sewer rehab side of CMOM, we are in advance of the integrated plan being approved, we actually, it is an EPA requirement, we are continuing with this work. We've got two active lining contracts totaling about 50,000 feet that are active right now. One is a small diameter pipe project, one is a large diameter pipe project. And we did do 25 emergency repairs last year, totaling about $5 million. John, can you go to the next slide? And then this is just a summary of what the easement program actually entails. It's approximately 109 miles of pipe that is does need the easements to be cleared to gain access to these sections. You'll see it's scattered really throughout the district. And at the 25 miles a year, we're forecasting somewhere around a four-year schedule to get these all cleared, hoping to be about halfway done at the end of this year. The total cost of the contract that's underway right now is just under $5 million. And he's about a third of the way done. And that's it. And I'll take any questions if anyone has any.
Mr. Chairman, this is Scott Jolson. If I can just add, as part of our correspondence with DEEP, so as Jason mentioned, one of the significant changes and differences that has occurred in the last couple of months in our conversations with DEEP, as you remember, we typically would get a long-term control plan approved, and it would have a dollar amount of all the projects that need to be done to complete that with a date. And let's just pick 2050. And so that's what we were proposing. We're going to build all this stuff, and we're going to have it done by 2050, and it's going to cost X, $3 billion. And every 5 years, we wind up having to adjust that based on lessons learned, based on change in schedule, based on funding authorizations, based on available money from the state. And so what we had a good conversation with the state and their willingness to say, why don't, instead of trying to set an end date of when you're going to finish the entire clean water project, that we would just set a schedule of 5 years, which is the length of the long-term control plan, 5-year increments, with a budget and a project list, as Jason laid out. And that way, we're only required at that point to get authorization from the public through referendum, if that's required, for that amount, rather than asking for $1 billion. And so that's a significant change. The other change has been we haven't gotten confirmation on this, but one thing we have said to the state DEEP is the affordability is very important for this project. And we keep reiterating all the things we have been saying is that the MDC has spent $1.8 billion in the next closest communities between New Haven, Norwich, and Bridgeport, they might have spent $60 million combined. So it's very unfair for the MDC's communities to spend $1.8 billion and then be forced to complete the remaining projects without the grant and loan that we planned on and was budgeted for. So we strongly believe that DEEP owes the MDC's region the amount of money that we planned on as part of our cash flow analysis, as part of our affordability to actually complete the clean water program. We should be top priority in the state of Connecticut. What we have asked for is in this next approval is language that although we know that DEEP cannot commit the state of Connecticut to funding, the state of Connecticut DEEP does have the authority to adjust consent order. So what we're asking is that if funds are not available for whatever reason from the state through the Clean Water Project and through the grant and loan program, we've been averaging 50% grant or just under 50% grant, we would expect a reprieve on the mandate. So it would be driven by funding availability within the state. And so that's what our ask, our request. I'm hoping that the state of Connecticut, DEEP, will agree to that. I reiterated again in our conversations with them, this is very different from the EPA. The EPA is non-political. It just wants what it wants, and it's going to expect the state of Connecticut to do and complete its projects under the consent decree. But when it comes to the state of Connecticut, the state of Connecticut DEEP, if a referendum fails, the state of Connecticut DEEP is going to have to take the MDC to court and force the MDC to do something that its residents and customers do not want to fund through a referendum. So that's where politics will come into play and the legislature come into play. So they understand that. We don't want to go there. We're hoping that these latest conversations with DEEP, there's been a lot of changes in administration at DEEP for the better, and we've seen a lot of changes in attitudes. And so we believe and are hopeful that we'll see some positive constructive changes in our consent order by adding some of this language. So that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Hoffman, you're cutting out. We can't really hear what you're saying.
Yes. Well, I said that I was calling for another invitation to commissioners on the committee to ask any questions. No further questions?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Oh, okay. If there are no further questions.
I just have one quick question. I don't know if this is the place for it. This is Commissioner Bush. There was an email that had gone out from Chris Levesque regarding One Fox Meadow, the SSO on One Fox Meadow. Is this an appropriate place to talk about that, or should that be handled separately out of this meeting?
Yeah, it would be when we come down past the public comments, if there are any. I believe that's a so. Thanks. If we can finish off the discussion of the long-term control plan and move to any public comments, should there be any.
Okay.
And hearing none, with that, Commissioner Bush, I would say that commissioner comments are in order.
Okay. Thank you very much. Just quickly to follow up, I did visit with the homeowner on that spot. I think it's adjacent to the easement, and there is a fairly significant SSO, and I just was looking for some way to update him on if we have what the plan is to deal with that, if there's currently a plan.
That would be Scott.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Bush, so as you know, this being an area, I believe it's the Chases, right, the Mr. and Mrs. Chase. This is an area that is really, and I tried to explain this during the Lindbrook issue. I made a point to say that during Lindbrook is that even if we had the tunnel, even if the tunnel was built and the CSOs were picked up by the tunnel, there's a hydraulic restriction where the water just can't get to the overflows at the tunnel, and because of the high volume, especially during a wet weather event. So this is that example. This is an example of no matter how big the tunnel is, the pipe that leads to the tunnel isn't big enough to handle all of the water that's coming from upstream, which is really I&I, we would refer to in a rainstorm, wet weather event. So this is really the solution for this area, like Lindbrook, is to get the I&I out. And I've mentioned this before. We've really have a great relationship, really changed dramatically with the mayor and with the DPW and the town manager. I think once, you know, with your help, I think once the council realized that we are telling them the truth, that this is not something that the MDC can fix alone, that we need a partner, we need the town to help us, and that's going to involve a stormwater system within the town of West Hartford to take that stormwater, give the property owners a valid place to dump their stormwater so it doesn't go into the sewer pipe and in turn create the SSO that you're referring to. So we got a couple of options here. We first got to get the integrated plan approved. Once that's approved, then we need to bring to the board and we're working with bond council right now to figure out what we can and what we can't do. The quickest solution would be bond council would consider and allow the MDC under its charter, under the ordinances passed for the clean water program, to utilize the $20 million rule and use the clean water surcharge fund to pay for clean water programs, projects under $20 million or under $21 million and change. If the bond council doesn't agree to that, one option is, as I mentioned before, we could bring a referendum to our towns asking for permission for them to vote to let us use that $20 million rule for not only CIP, which is what we use for every year, but also use that same language and that same authorization for clean water projects. And so that's another option. The other option is to get the integrated plan approved, and they say, okay, we're going to approve, pick a number, $200 million. We go out and we request a referendum authorization for $200,000 and move forward. And the other option, obviously, is, you know, ask for all of it, which I don't think is the right thing to do, given our communication with DEEP. So right now, there's really nothing we can do for those areas except get the stormwater out. The town of West Hartford has a plan to do about $30 million worth of storm work in 2023. And our plan and goal is to be right with them side by side doing our work in the same area. And the MDC, under an MOU, which we haven't signed yet, but under an MOU, would do our work. And then we would also, like we did in Hartford, in Wethersfield, we would make the storm connection to the home. And the city of West Hartford, town of West Hartford, would pay for the storm and pipe in the street. So there's a lot of good things that are coming, but it's a few years away.
Commissioner Bush, comment.
Thank you very much. That was a great response. I appreciate that, and whatever I can do to help the town move forward with any of that stuff. One last comment, which I don't know if this is the right location for it. But the issue with the getting the INI out of the sanitary sewer by installing the sump pumps in the basement for people, you know, there's some continuing difficulties with some of the homeowners in my area who I guess when these when the new pits were dug for the sump pumps, they tapped into underground water, and so there's some ongoing issues. How are we going to have an opportunity to talk about that program, or where would be the best forum to discuss that program and some changes to the permitting process regarding those sump pumps?
Great question, Commissioner. And so that's part of the MOU. And we've had a few issues with the MOU in those kinds of details. And so the problem that West Hartford has is practically they have a longstanding problem with groundwater, just like Newington, just like Wethersfield. And building the infrastructure to fix that is years away. And so we have a practical problem of customers that there's only – it's like we're putting Band-Aids on our system so we can protect customers – from the sewer system and the stormwater all at the same time. So we're trying to balance doing the right thing for the MDC sewer, but also realizing the practical problem that the communities have, which is they have no place to dump their stormwater. They have no backyard to dump it, because a lot of these areas, as you know, they're built right at the lowest portion of the town. They're right up against the Brook area. So they're well downstream of thousands of homes that are dumping groundwater and stormwater into these pipes. And so the real challenge is getting a solution with the town building department so that we can – the MDC's goal is to be partnered with the town and help fix this problem. But what we want from the town is we don't want any more – We don't want to be fixing a problem on Lynbrook and then allowing a building permit to continue and create another problem on another street. So we want to make sure that the building permitting process stops any more problems by contributing to not discharging to the outside, or you know, illegal basement bathrooms and those kinds of things. We just want to be notified. We want to be brought into the process, and we want to make sure that the town and the MDT are working together, not against each other. If we fix four homes or five homes, but there's 10 homes that just got issued permits to put bathroom basements in, we're really defeating our purpose. So those are the things we're working through. And I know we'll get there. I've had a lot of conversations with Matt Hart. And our goal is to be ready to execute these projects in 2023.
Thank you, Scott. I know that we're up against a Water Bureau meeting at 5, but I don't like to cut off anybody's chance to say anything that they'd like. So last call for commissioners on the board. Of the
Mr. Chairman?
Please.
Yeah, Commissioner DiBella.
Yes.
Just a report, which isn't a happy report, but I called John Avedisian last Wednesday, and I called him on a cell phone. Couldn't get a hold of him and didn't hear anything from him. I got a call back from John on, I believe it was Thursday night, and he did not sound well, and he told me that he was in the Hartford Hospital being treated for COVID. So he's there now. I tried him over the weekend and I couldn't get in touch with him. I don't know what his status is now, but when I talked to him Thursday, he was not doing well. So I'll give you another update as soon as I can get in touch with him. Everybody know that it's a serious situation with John. He's being treated in the hospital now, at Hartford Hospital.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you.